I guess y'all been at a big fancy restaurant where you've had a delicious meal. I mean, you've just eaten and eaten and eaten, and you've just crammed everything into you, and you've had a wonderful time. And then that waiter comes by and says, "Would you like some dessert?" And what are you thinking, right? No way. I've got no room for nothing else. Well, guess what I am? Children, I need your help. If you feel like crying out, just cry out. If you feel like screaming, scream out. We gotta energize these folks. We need to keep these good folks well awake as we think about some important things. You got a role to play. If you see your mama, your daddy, your grandmama, your grandpapa starting to nod off or get bored, just kind of work with me and help me, because we're gonna get through some stuff. I'm not gonna take advantage of the situation, but I am just wanting to say that you look up here at this fella and you're seeing somebody that is uniquely and amazingly blessed by God. I know that. This is. I look out here and I see this is a 5-talent congregation, no doubt. Looking up at a 1-talent preacher, that's who you're getting for this portion. And you literally could go outside and shake a tree and 10 folks fall out of it that are more worthy of this honor than I am. But I'm going to do my best. I am. I want us to, in just a few minutes from now, I want us to look back and say it was good for us to be here. We're better than we were when we walked in the door. We're closer to God. We're more ready to turn this world upside down for Him. We're better people. We just gotta be. So I'm begging you. I know your bottoms are tired, your ears are tired, but I'm begging you. Work with me. Invest your heart. And let's see what we can do together in the next few minutes. But the people of faith and vision that started all this about 75 years ago, they got into a room, they got into a house, and what in the world were they thinking? What in the world were they saying? I know they weren't thinking about us. They weren't planning or contemplating an anniversary, a celebration like this. No doubt they were thinking about faithfulness. They were thinking about preaching the Word. They're thinking about planting the seed. They're thinking about the mission. They're thinking about the job. They weren't talking about us 75 years ago, but here we are, and now we're talking about them. We're thanking God for them, for their faithfulness, for the fact that because they did what they did, we get to do what we do. They came together, and they dreamed, and they worked, and they built, and now we get to come together to dream, to build, to work. And we're thankful to God for all of them. They weren't talking about us, but we're talking. We're expressing gratitude for all that they did. They were pretty remarkable folks back in those days. They paid 19 cents a gallon for gasoline. They were rebels. They came to the assembly and they didn't wear seatbelts. They got their news from a radio. The headline back in 1951, there's a Korean War. If they had a television, it was black and white. And they watched a show about some lady named Lucy. Some of y'all remember Lucy. They were amazing people, these pioneers. A lot has changed, obviously, since then. We pay a little bit more for the gasoline. We get our news from telephones like this. If they had a telephone, it was hanging on the wall back in those days. Our televisions are big and colorful. We wore seat belts to church. The big headline today also is about a war, isn't it? So a lot has changed, but obviously a lot has not changed. I've been a part of three different buildings connected with this congregation. So the buildings have changed, but the builder has not changed. Jesus is the one who built this. He said, I'll build my church. And He built it. And we get to be a part of that operation. I notice also that over time the preachers have changed. But I'm proud to remind you that the preaching has not changed. I am preacher number 13. Which explains a lot, I think, of my tenure. Terry Cagle, he's preacher number 15.5. At interim, you know, get a 0.5 for him. And I'm very thankful that preacher 13, same message, same Jesus that was preached by preacher number 1, preached by 13, preached by 15.5. Different preachers, same preaching. Different messengers, same message. 1 Corinthians 1, 23, it goes back further than 1951, right? Paul said we preach Christ crucified. A lot of messengers. One message. One Messiah. Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. 1951. Those first about 20 folks or so, they got into a room and focusing on harvesting souls, preaching the Word, open doors, opportunities, and it had to be really difficult for them. I would suggest that it's a lot easier for us now than for them. They went through the wilderness so we could enjoy the promised land. It's a lot easier to continue something than it is to start something. And just think about us now. Think about how God has blessed you. We have more money than they had. We got more people than they had. We got a better building than they had. Therefore, we have a lot more responsibility than they had. Isn't it Luke 12:48? Unto whomsoever much is given, look at yourself now. Unto whomsoever much is given, that's you. That's me. Unto whomsoever much is given, much is required. That's us. With all these blessings, we have unique and wonderful opportunity and responsibility. The first 20, approximately. We don't know them, but we owe them. We owe them. Their faith requires us to have faith. Their vision requires us to respond with vision. Their love requires us to come back with love also. And so today, we're looking backwards. We're looking upwards. We're looking outward. We're looking inward. And we're looking forward. And as a bonus, we get to look around. We've done a lot of that already, but I want to do just a smidgen more of it right now. When I look around this room, I see a wonderfully blessed forever family of believers in Christ Jesus. I see lots of people who came home today, because this church is still a part of your heart. It's still an important part of your life's story. You remember when you come into this place, or the Lot Road place, or the Fairview place. You remember the baptisms. Maybe you remember when you were baptized. You remember all the Bible classes. You remember all of the sermons you listened to. You remember the songs that you learned to sing. So many great memories, I hope, are flooding your soul as you come back here. Some of you were carried into this place as a baby. And then you carried out screaming as a toddler, you remember? That was you. Some of you are married here. Hopefully all of us were inspired here. Hopefully all of us were loved here. But when I look around the room, I see a taste of heaven. If we're not into this, we're not getting into heaven. That's a verse in the Bible somewhere. But I see family. I see, you know what I'm going to say, I see forever family. I see sheep, amazing sheep. I see amazing shepherds. I see amazing servants in this place. I see people who've walked faithfully with God for many years in this place. But also, I see a lot of us who in our walk with God, we stumble. We fell down. Thankfully, I see in this place people who got up. By the grace of God and the love of His family, you got up. You got up. And you kept walking. And you kept, not today, devil. You got up. And I'm thankful that you're here today. I'm thankful you allow somebody like me to be here. Somebody who's also stumbled. Terry talked about how we're patient with him. I wrote the book on Be Patient With Me. Thank you for that. I see a place where love grows. I see a place and a people who've needed a Savior, who've received, obeyed the Savior, received forgiveness. I also see a people who value peace, who understand that holding a grudge, right? Y'all remember this from many years ago. Holding a grudge is like what? It's like drinking poison and expecting the other guy to die. Now we're smart enough, right? We're not holding grudges. If we came in holding them today, we're letting them go now. Let them go now. It's not worth it. We good? We're good. I don't know what I'd have done if they said no, Steve. So, thank you. We value peace. We see people in this place who deserve flowers now, not later on. When I look around this room, I see something else. And an earlier speaker touched on this briefly, but I see answered prayers. Don't you? Some of you are here today because somebody prayed for you. You're healthy today because somebody prayed for you. You're actually still married today because somebody prayed for you. You got a good job because somebody prayed for you. You got great babies and grandbabies because somebody prayed for you. You are saved in Jesus Christ because somebody prayed for you. Your mama, your daddy, the elders, the church, your best buddy. You're here today. I'm here today as an answer to prayer. But also when I look around the room, maybe we see some who are a prayer that still needs to be answered. Does that make sense? That maybe somebody's sitting in here today and there's somebody praying that you will become a Christian. Answer the prayer. Somebody may be praying for you that you get some brokenness mended in your life. Help answer that prayer. There may be somebody praying for you that you'll come back home. Answer the prayer. See, when I look around the room, I see answered prayers and I see future. I'm going to be optimistic about it. I see future answers to prayer. Maybe even somebody's praying for you silently right now. When Steve comes and leads us in this song, they're praying that you'll come and you'll fix what's broken. And that you'll make amends with the Lord and with His family. Answer the prayer. When we stand and sing, the singing is going to be phenomenal, beautiful. Well done, Steve. Well done, church. but don't focus on the beautiful song that you forget. I've got a prayer to answer now. Because I shall not leave this place lost. I shall not do that. I see lots of answered prayers, or soon to be answered prayers. James 5:16, right? Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. Got a lot of righteous men, a lot of righteous women in this house. Avails much. Pray with me, please. Dear Father, we're asking now that every soul in this house will be saved. That if there are those who need to make a decision, if there are those that need to put on Jesus in baptism, that will happen today. If there are those that need to come home today, that will happen. Help us all to leave as better people than we were when we showed up. Help us to be closer to You than ever before. Help us to be cleaner than ever before. In Jesus we pray, amen. We look backwards, right? We have remembering to do. We've done a lot of that already. The word remember in your Bible is found about 250 times, or a form of that word. We're told to, in Deuteronomy 8:2, shall remember the Lord your God, right? We got a God to remember. We got a godly life to remember. Exodus 28, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We've got Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now your Creator of the days of your youth. We got Luke 22:19, do this in remembrance of me. So we got good things, good folks to be remembering, a good life to be remembering. We forget, that's the beginning of sin. The word forget, by the way, found in your Bible, a variation of it about 150 different times. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12, beware lest you forget the Lord. Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, forgetting all His benefits. And then Philippians 3:13, is rather interesting, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those which lie ahead or before us. So there are things in our past that we cannot get anchored to. We can learn those lessons. Thankfully, we're not obligated to be perpetual victims of bad choices we've made, but we can be wiser now, and we can move forward to something better. We're leaving that 75 years behind, and we're embracing the next 70. We're not stuck in 1951. When I think about the last 75 years or so, I think about all the amazing things that have been happening in this congregation. There have been 20, by my math, and my math isn't so good sometimes, but by my math, about 27,300 times, somebody stood up and said, let's pray. About 46,800 times, somebody stood up and said, let's sing this song. About 7,800 times, somebody said, let's go to Bible class. About another 7,800 times, somebody stood up and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. About 1,600 of those lessons were masterpieces. Something funny. Humility was the topic, I guess. We've had a lot going on in this place. All those moments, right, helped shape the church that we are today. It took about 75 years of praying and singing and preaching and baptizing folks and vacation Bible schools and pies in the face, right? It took about 75 years of folks being restored and great victories and some defeats because we did some things wrong on occasion. Took 75 years of good deeds and good meals together and invitations and too many funerals, right? And setting the thermostat up and setting it down and opening up and locking up and cleaning up and paying bills and going on mission trips and business meetings that were legendary in their day. And then ladies' classes and just on and on I could go with so many things that happened to help shape this congregation, build this church into what it is today. So what I'm trying to say is a lot of good happened even before any of us showed up. And now hopefully, because we've showed up and we're stepping up best we can, things are getting, can we say this, even better in some ways to the glory of God. But going back not just to 1951, but to A.D. 33, we appreciate those who've gone before us, those who dug the wells we're drinking by, who built the fires we're warming by, who dreamed the dreams that we're being blessed by even now. These folks, again, they endured difficult times. They blazed the trail. They took the spider webs in the face so they wouldn't be there when we came along. Life's better for us now because of them. So we look backward, and we appreciate, we look upward. We look upward, most important direction we look upward, and we give glory to God. Today's not a celebration of us, it's a celebration of our God. We're blooming where God has planted us. When we brag on somebody's dish, we're bragging on the one who prepared the dish. When I say Azalea City is a great family, I'm meaning we have a great God. We have a wonderful Father. This is a celebration of the purchaser of the church, of the builder of all of this. Ephesians, what in the world? Ephesians. What are you laughing at, Steve? Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship. We're His workmanship. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 16. After they built this wall, 52 days. It says there, this work was wrought of God. This doesn't happen without God. A wall gets built, a church, a congregation gets built, and at the beginning of the day, it's God. In the middle of the day, it's God. At the end of the day, it's God. It's never Jeff, it's never Terry, it's never you. It's all about God. We look up to God, and we say, thank you. We're not worthy. Thank you. We got to be looking up. We look outward. Have a big job, you know. Go into all the world as you go, right? Matthew 28 hadn't changed. As you go to Walmart, as you go to the bank, as you go to school, as you go to the ballpark, as you go wherever it is you go putting in a good word for Jesus every day, everywhere, around everybody. That's the job. That's the mission. And we dare not forget that. This city, I'm just amazed how much has changed in the last few years. It's a temporary city. But the city we're trying to all get to and help others get to, it has not changed. And we dare not lose sight of that place, of that people. So many opportunities to rescue. I go to a lot and I stand next to places that have been completely obliterated. Buildings where there were schools and hospitals and families lived there. It's just a horrible thing. A lot of times, these drones, these missiles, they'll hit these buildings and they'll just collapse. Now imagine for a moment this building, you're in it, and it has collapsed around and on us all right now. Okay? And you're alive. By the grace of God, you're alive. You don't deserve to be alive, but you're alive. And you do what? You start climbing out. I mean, you climb, and finally, you see light, and you get out, and you get up, and you say, hey, I got 10 fingers, I got 10 toes, I'm going to go get some rest, I'm going to go get some coffee, I'm going to go take a nap. No! You wouldn't do that if there's anything to you at all, if there's anything to your character at all, if you got any kind of Jesus in you at all. What do? You start digging. Because Jeff's in there somewhere. Your mama's in there somewhere. Your neighbor's in there. Your kids are in there. You can't, with the rescued, we become rescuers. And so we're doing all this looking back and looking around, and all that's great. But we got to look at the people that we have been rescued by Jesus in order to now rescue others. Have you noticed when you're fishing? How unpleasant it is when the fish aren't biting and you just start noticing other stuff. You notice how hot the sun is. You notice how soggy the sandwich is. You notice how grouchy the person in the back of the boat is. You notice how big the mosquitoes are, right? But when you start fishing, what happens? All the gripes, all the complaints go away. And what can happen in a church? I mean, we can be so blessed. Everything's going so great. And I think it was Taylor talked about earlier how we can get lazy, we can get complacent, we can get bored. We can talk about 75 years ago, right? And then we just start noticing the grouchy folks, the lazy folks, the sun, the sandwich, the mosquitoes. And we got to get back to fishing. If you're a miserable Christian, it's because you're not fishing. That's it. It's not my fault. It's not your mama's fault. It's not the elder's fault. It's me not doing the job. Now, you didn't say amen, but you thought it. Tell me you thought it, right? Amen? Okay. We got to keep looking out. So much still to do. Then we got to look inward. Almost done, Steve. Got to look inward. Got to examine ourselves to see. You remember, this is 2 Corinthians 13:5. To see whether we are in the faith. Anniversaries give us a great opportunity to ask questions. And some of these questions can be hard questions. How am I doing? How am I doing with the Lord? How am I doing with the Lord's family? Am I who I need to be? Am I what I need to be? Is my attitude right? Are my words right? My demeanor, my behavior, my example, is that right? See, it's easy. Now, I've been doing this and you have too. When we come together like this, what do? We do some people watching, right? And we think, man, they look good. And man, they're young, and you look over, well, that one's kind of gotten older, you know. What's going on with them, you know? And you know, some of y'all just look so pretty, really. You look so handsome. And then I see Steve, you know, and I don't know what's going on. Payback, sweet. But we got to look at the guy, the gal in the mirror and say, is there something in me that's not like Jesus that I can adjust, that I can correct? Maybe the problem is not the other folks. Maybe it's that person looking at me in the mirror. When I first came to Tuscumbia, I knew I'd say that. When I first came to, what's the name of this place? Azalea City Church of Christ. I moved on to Tuscumbia later. But when I first came here, I was given this wooden carved quail by a lady down in Bruton, Alabama, Florence Kennington. And she was a wonderful lady, older lady, and she could take wood and turn it into amazing things like this. And Joey Brickman actually gave me this. Some of you might remember Joey. And I was in Miss Kennington's little workshop one time, and I was bragging on her work and the quail she'd given me through her grandson. And I said, Miss Kennington, how do you do that? How do you take wood and turn it into something so amazing? She could do this with turkeys and with hummingbirds, just amazing, talented, brilliant lady. And she said, well, Jeff, here's what I do. I take a block of wood, and then I get a sharp knife, and I cut away from that block of wood anything and everything that does not look like a quail. And then I got a quail. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? Are you with me? Kids, it's time for you to rise up and make some noise, maybe. But so what are we doing? We're looking at ourselves. We're not trying to make a quail here. We're taking the sharp word of God, and we're trying best we can to look like. And so with the word and with the help of good people, right, We remove from ourselves anything that doesn't look like Jesus, sound like Jesus, act like Jesus, love like Jesus, worship like Jesus. And what's left? Not a quail, but an image of Jesus Christ. And so, as Steve is warming up now, getting ready to lead us, let's ask ourselves, is there something about us that we need to get rid of, something we need to add to our lives so we will look a whole lot more, sound a whole lot more like Jesus? And now, finally, forward. We're looking forward. 75 years from now, don't want to disappoint you, but most of us won't be here. You know that, right? You know that year, if my math is right, that's about, what, 2,101? 2,101? Most of you won't be here. I'll be here. Glenda Carpenter, she'll be here, right? All right. No pressure. Take your vitamins. You're looking good, by the way. Tony, not so much. But can I tell a Conrad story? I mean, what are y'all going to do? Playing golf with Conrad, and some of you don't know Conrad, best man ever, right? Conrad, he's playing golf with me. His son Tony's playing with me. Lee's son's playing with me. Maybe Bob. I'm not sure who else is with me. And as I recall it, I was absolutely, Bubba, I was wearing them out. I was absolutely destroying them. I was beating them bad in golf. And I'm up on the tee box, and I hit my tee shot, and it goes wildly to the right, sliced it off deep into the woods. And I'm in the cart with Conrad, and Conrad's such a good man. He said, I think we can find that ball. I said, Conrad, it's gone. It's lost. He said, I think we can find it. And so it saved me a shot, maybe, if we do find it. And so we get out, and we start looking. And Conrad, he's such a good guy. He would do for me what I'd never do for him. He was going deep into the woods where the snakes and the tigers and everything's in there. He's looking for my ball. And we're a long way apart from each other. We're a long way from the fairway. And this as sure as there's a quail there and a red tie here, this happened. Conrad starts yelling. And I can't really make out what he says. Just yelling. I hear him deep in the woods yelling. And it sounds like something is tearing Conrad up, right? And I'm thinking, all right, I need to back up, you know. And I can't make out exactly what Conrad is saying. But every now and then, I hear something that sounds like, Yellow Jacket! Yellow Jacket! And I'm thinking, Conrad, looking for my golf ball, is getting killed by a bunch of yelling. I mean, it's what it sounds like. And then, amidst all the yelling and the yellow jacketing, I hear Conrad say, help me! Somebody help me! You'd think his son would get in there and help him, you know. And I go in there, how are you going to help a man get kneed up by yellow jackets? And I go in there to where Conrad is. He's flailing around. Yellow Jacket's just all over him. He's on his shirt and all. And I take a towel, and I'm just trying to beat him without getting stung by him. And we finally get him beaten off of him. We get him back over to the cart. And he's all right, but he's been stung pretty good. And then I, poor judgment, Conrad, did you get my ball? Now, I'm the bad guy, right? He was an all-timer, Glenda. He was an all-timer. And another generation is going to sit in these pews, and I hope they're a lot like Conrad. I hope they're a lot like Wheat Alsop. I hope they're a lot like Gerald King. Gerald King, greatest servant I ever knew, and I've known some great ones. And I tell you, you know how you can tell one way Gerald King's not here? Because there's a light over my head that's out. Uh-huh. That rustling sound you hear, that's Gerald King turning in his grave, thinking, I can't believe that. So, great servants. Another preacher's going to stand in this pulpit, Terry. I sure hope. I hope he's a lot like 15.5. I really do. It's already been asked, but it's important to recognize we're going to leave a legacy. We're not going to be here by our legacy will. We're going to plant what we're planting. They're going to harvest one day. And let's pass along what was passed on to us by the early church, the church of the first century, church of the 20th century. And may that church, when they gather here one day, may they say of us, they remembered God. They protected the truth, they built on what they had been given. And may we recognize that what we've been given by earlier generations and our Heavenly Father is not broken. Let's not try to fix what hasn't been broken. Singing is great. It ain't broken. Let's not fix it. The preaching is great. It's not broken. Let's not try to fix it. The way to Jesus isn't broken. Let's not try to fix it. We can be fixed. We can get better. But what we've been given is so amazing. And the next Christians, they're going to be either blessed or burdened by what we're doing now. And that's why I say with all my heart, the next 75 years are more important than the last 75 years. The past deserves celebration. The future demands faithfulness. The present demands faithfulness. And one day we're going to get to meet all these folks in heaven. And I'm looking forward to that. And maybe they'll be saying of us, right, we don't know them, but we owe them because of what we passed along. The greatest way to honor the past is to be faithful in the present. Whenever my kids were little in this church, one time we saved up a boatload of money. We went to Disney World. It's a big crowded place, as you know. Kind of intimidating. And we went in there through those big gates, and I said to them, I said, now look, we get separated. Y'all, you see those big gates we just came through? You, Mom and Dad, we're going to be there. You find us at those gates. Yes, sir, Daddy. Thankfully, nobody got lost there. But can I be so presumptuous and emotional to say with you now that I really hope that all of us, we can meet at that gate one day. Not the Disney World gate. That'd be fun. But let's think about that heaven gate, right? I just have this great vision in my mind that there's this Azalea City, this Lot Road, this Fairview group, this Ukrainian group, and we just all stand there at the gate, and I'm going to be so aggravated if some of you aren't there. I'm going to be pretty disappointed if I'm not there too, right? I get that. But be there. Make whatever decision, whatever you got to get out with the help of Christ, get it out so we can all be at the gate, have that big section of us, and we just go in rejoicing together. You know the bravest thing you'll ever say, maybe, in your life? What's the bravest thing you can say right now? Help! Help. Maybe you got some spiritual yellow jackets, right? It's a good thing to say help. And we do have some prayers to answer, right? I'm praying, even now as I'm talking, I'm praying that you'll let us answer. You'll help us answer those prayers that we've been lifting up, others have been lifting up. Prayers for your eternal salvation. I hope that will happen. Yesterday, somebody mentioned that the day that Gerald King was baptized into Christ. It was in Fairview. How many of you were there for that day? And there was not a dry. We did not expect Gerald to come forward that day. He's a guy. He was not a Christian. He'd been a bouncer, been a rough kind of guy, but a big-hearted guy, loving guy, you know, kind of a dad to me for a time. And he would work on the baptistry at Fairview, and he'd never gotten into the baptistry to be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. I say, Gerald, what are you thinking? You'll clean it, but you won't let it clean you. And so, he had a bad back, right? He had a lot of bad things. He had a bad back. We're standing and singing. I guess Steve was probably leading the song. And Gerald King came forward. I'm squalling. Anybody with any whatever was squalling. And he did not say, when he came forward, he said, I'm here to be baptized. First words out of his mouth. I cannot remember what I had for breakfast today, but I remember what Gerald said. He said, now, Brother Jeff, you know I've got a bad back. That's what he said. I took that as his confession that he believed Jesus, Son of God. No, we went a little bit more involved than that. He had a bad back, but he had a great heart. And it's because of folks like him and folks like you that Azalea City is a great church. And I hope you're a part of it. I hope you're a part of God's family. We need to be together in this. Let's meet at the gate. Let's go in and let's celebrate forever the amazing grace of our Heavenly Father. Terry's going to come up. It'll be a lot easier if you all to come forward and hug on him than me. I'm a stranger to a lot of you. Terry's going to be up here. Can you imagine anybody going out those doors not knowing that you're going to heaven one day? So you can hug on Terry. Where's Taylor Copeland at? Where's Terry? I mean, Taylor. Taylor, you still got some of that Rocky Creek in you, right? So would you come up and stand over there? Because there might be some Rocky Creek folks here this morning. Might be easier for them to hug on you than me or Terry, okay? Would you do that? All right. You got your dominoes? All right. If you need to come on with us.